Hallelujah. God is so awesome. He is so good. And what an amazing time it is. With all that is going on in the world, I pray that you are calling on the name of the Lord, that you are asking him to speak to your heart and to your mind to help you to understand your role in this changing society. Each and every one of us play a part in what is happening. God has created us and has established us to live for such a time as this. We have been called to live in this season. And as the people of God, it is our responsibility to stand for righteousness and truth, even justice, even that which causes us to be in support of someone who is not like us. And so we must be the people of God, not just allow ourselves to hold to our own ideas and thoughts, but we must be a part of the change that needs to take place in the community. Jesus came to change the world. Jesus Christ came to make a difference, to redeem mankind, that old things would pass away, and behold, everything would be made new. And this is what we need in our culture today. This is what we need in our society today. We need a newness of life. We need a new mentality. We need a new way of thinking and operating, even in the hearts and the minds of church people, of Christian people. I know that many times it's difficult to talk about these issues when it comes to racial indignation and racial disparity and racial injustice. And it's not something that churches like to talk about. It's not something that too many pastors preach on. But it is an issue that the church needs to learn. It is said that the Sunday morning hour, that time between 11 and 1, maybe even more than that, is the most segregated time of the week. And we know that most churches are unicultured. They have one race of people. And even when you look at those churches that have multiracial congregations, the leadership staff doesn't reflect the people in the congregation the way it should. And so we're living in a day and age where this issue is going on even in the church, and many have turned a deaf ear to the cries of those who are hurting, of those who are suffering. And we pretend as if it was just going to go away if we just smile and keep going. But as we know, things don't just change. It requires a change agent. And the change agent today are those who are protesting and those who are crying out with a voice, who are not letting up. They are relentlessly crying out. Various communities and towns and villages all around the country are having groups gather and people meet in order to cry out for justice. This is a season that the church must not be silent, but the church must express and share in the cry for righteousness. And so we, as the Orange County Gospel Fellowship, we, as was mentioned earlier, are a multicultural church, and we certainly have experienced our share of injustice. But I can surely tell you that it's by the grace of God that we are able to stand and represent from a heart of love, that we are able to operate in a manner which demonstrates the love and the power of God. This is what Christ came to do. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be a segregated heaven. There aren't going to be slums, and there aren't going to be little sections where various groups of people gather who are of the same race or the same culture or of the same region. But we will be the people of God. We will be one. We will be unified. We will be in an atmosphere in the presence of God whereby we will be free from all of the bondages and oppressions that the earth has on it. And so today I would like to share from the Word of God. And I would like to begin here in Isaiah 26, verse 3. And it says, "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you." The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Well, I pray that you're trusting in the Lord this morning. I pray that you are steadfast of mind, that you are able to experience the peace of God even in the times of turbulence, of troubles. And this season that we are in is not by accident, but it is a strategy. And I believe that it is a strategy of both good and evil. And we certainly see the evil that has taken place, which has sparked the rallies and the cries of the people. And so it requires a steadfast mind to navigate with a heart and mind of peace through times like these. And so I would like to use as a theme today, the head-heart juxtaposition. The head-heart juxtaposition. There's a battle between what you know and what you feel. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, join me as we pray. Well, Father, I pray, O God, in the name of Jesus, that you would rise up in the midst of the hearts and the minds of your people, that you would enable us to represent you in righteousness and in truth, that the word of the Lord would prevail in our hearts and in our mind, and that we would understand that we are called of God to represent the righteousness of God, the truth of God, the ways of God, even operating out of the fruit of the Spirit of God. I pray, O God, that you would help us to be of sound mind, that we would not get caught up in the frenzy of all that is going on, but that we would examine ourselves and begin to take action in ways that would bring reconciliation, that would bring healing, that would help our society and our communities to be transformed. Lord, we pray and we ask that your word would be quickened within us and that we would be made alive to righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, the head-heart juxtaposition is one that we all struggle with in one way or another. We find ourselves trying to reconcile the difference between how we feel and what's going on within us and our ability to rationalize and reason. And this battle that takes place is a battle that is not easily won. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it tells us that if our mind is steadfast, and I have it here in another translation, and it says, "An imagination supported thou fortifiest peace. Peace, for in thee it is confident." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a direct translation from the original text, and it gives us the understanding that the thoughts or the imaginations of our mind would be fortified in peace, the peace of God, even when we're not thinking about things that we're thinking about, but we're thinking about them, we would have peace. Even when we think about the challenges and the difficulties that we face in life, all of the things that are beyond our control to some extent, but yet we can play some small role, and trying to figure out what our role is and how to bring all these things together, how it all would work. This is a challenging feat. This is of great difficulty, but God gives us peace. When our mind is stayed on Him, when our mind is fixed on Him, He gives us, He imparts His perfect peace. This internal conflict that we have is something that people wrestle with. They wrestle with all that they see in social media and all that they hear on radio and see on TV, and they're watching all of these things going on, and people's feelings and emotions are being stirred. And they try to rationalize in their mind how to deal with these situations, how to deal with these kinds of circumstances, as we are now in a generation that really knows very little about the struggles of the past, what it's like and what it feels like to go through a time of transition. And every season or time of transition in the world is usually faced with conflict. And there is always conflict when change is required. When there is change, there is always conflict. Even within ourselves as the people of God, as we desire to see the newness of Christ, the new life of Christ be risen up from within us, being manifested from within us, there's an inner conflict between the righteousness of God and the things that our flesh desires to do. You see, we wrestle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. There is a battle in these three areas that are at work even in the world today. And every one of us is rationalizing with these three elements of our lives. And we are being greatly impacted. And so internal conflict is the experience of having opposition, psychological beliefs, desires, impulses, or feelings. In psychology, internal conflict is referred to as cognitive dissonance. It's a term that refers to holding conflicting and inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, and attitudes. This mental struggle can occur at any point in a person's life and regarding any topic, whether it's relationships or work commitments, religious beliefs, or moral standpoints. And certainly social ideologies. This internal conflict is something that we all wrestle with in one way or another. It's something that is a part of the human experience. And this is why we need to be transformed into the image of Christ. This is why we need the Word of God constantly working within us to transform us. This is why Isaiah is pointing this very point out. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. You see, it's your trust in God. It's your faith in God that will enable you to juxtapose these factors and enable you to come to a righteous decision and action. God always calls his people to action. It's not just praying and laying at the altar and waiting for something to change, but it is praying and waiting at the altar for directions from God so we will know how to respond to the need of the times, that we would be able to hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit as he gives us what to say in circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in, that we would be able to reconcile in our minds and in our hearts what the Spirit of God would have us to do. This is why the Word of God says, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, not just be one who quotes scripture, but one who applies it. And so we know that in verse 4, it goes on and it says, trust in the Lord forever. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Hallelujah. We can stand on the truths of God. We can trust in his word. He is able to sustain us and hold us up no matter what the situations are that are happening in the world around us. God will establish us, that we would be able to know and trust in his word and in his ways, and we will have good success. According to the HeartMath Institute, this research that they do has shown that the heart of the human being carries its own special kind of intuitive intelligence. And Pastor Michal spoke a little bit about this concept back in February when he shared regarding the matter of the heart. And we know that in today's society, people are raised to be dominated by the mind. We are thinkers. We go based, we want to be educated. We want to learn and we grow. We put our kids in school for 12 or even 16 years and more so that their minds can be educated. We become very confused and disconnected when our hearts get involved, though, in the regards to the matters of life. Because all of a sudden, all the education, all the things that you've learned, and all the things that you know seem to get scrambled when your heart is stirred. You lose your sense of reasoning sometimes, and you find yourself in a place where you're motivated by the way you feel rather than what's going on in your rationalized thinking, because rationalized thinking gets lost. It is very easy to even listen to the mind. We're so used to it that we can find ourselves mindlessly obeying what others teach us or what others say. And we have a tendency to take on what people say and think beyond what we know is right and what is true. We begin to logically plan our lives in ways that we think are the best way to go, based on the information that we receive. But the Bible says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. The Word of God tells us that a man plans his way, but God orders his steps. And so men default to trying to figure things out and make sense of the things of life. But our hearts, they carry their own special kind of intelligence, an intelligence that is non-linear, it's subtle, and is often very abstract. And so we find that the heart is a factor that we cannot always play to it. In fact, the Word of God says the same thing. And so the Institute is right on track here with what the Word of God already has told us. It goes on and they say, there is no formula or set of rules that are attached to the heart's intelligence. It is up to the individual to tune into the voice within, which is often what confuses us. And so this is what scientists have figured out in regards to the study of the heart and the mind. And we know this from the very Word of God. We know that we must learn to hear the still small voice of the Spirit of God. We need to be able to be led by the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You see, this is what God has called us to do. This is who we have been called to be, to represent. In Ephesians 6:10, we learned and are very familiar with the fact that Paul says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which has boundless might provides. Hallelujah. And this is which his boundlessness might provide. It is the strength of the Spirit of God, as this passage says. And we know that the Amplified version here has really blown it out in such a way that we would be able to grab hold of what it's saying. God wants us to be able to operate in the strength and the power of God by being in union with God, in one accord with the Spirit of God, as we are led by God, as we walk with Him. In verse 11, he goes on, he says, to put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. You see, Satan has a plan. He has a strategy. And his plan is to put thoughts into our mind. His strategy is to stir up our emotions and our feelings to get us to act and respond in a way that is outside of the direction and the will of the Word of God, the plans of God. And so he wants to stir up confusion. In fact, the scripture says where there is confusion, there is every evil work. And we know that when confusion comes into the midst, we know that it causes people to operate based on how they feel. Usually, it's a fear factor. Fear being the very thing that is moving and stirring people. And so, in verse 12, the verse we all know and love, and he says here in the Amplified Version, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against despotism, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly or the supernatural sphere or realm. This is what we are dealing with, and this is what is being thrown into the mix of all that is happening in the world today. There is not only a problem with the authorities of this world, but there is a problem with the supernatural authorities. There is a problem with the spirits and the authorities that are over various regions and segments of the world. And there are demonic entities at work. It's not just human beings, but it is spiritual. Human beings are vessels that spirits utilize and control in order to bring about the will of its source, the one that they're serving, its master. And that is what the spirits of darkness are doing in this world. They are using people in order to bring about confusion and every evil work. But God is also at work. In fact, the Word of God tells us that where good is, evil is always present. And so that tells me that whenever you see evil at work, something good is already happening. And so we're living in a day and age where something good is already happening. God is already at work. He is already molding and shaping, and he's orchestrating and bringing things into order. And even though outwardly it seems like there is chaos, the things that are unseen are the things that we are able to trust and know that God is involved in. And so we are in an environment, in an atmosphere where we must be able to rationalize all of these things that are taking place, all of the things that we see, that we hear, that we feel. All of these things must be brought into order in accordance to the Word of God. This is Ezekiel 36, 26 that says, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God wants to transform every life. God wants to transform us so that we can be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to the will of God, to the ways of God, to the things of God. So many people have hard hearts. People are offended when they hear phrases like Black Lives Matter. All of a sudden, they become offensive and they say, well, all lives matter. Well, it's not all lives that are suffering injustice. It's only certain lives that are suffering injustice. And so we ought not be offended by that phrase. No one gets offended when we see a commercial for cancer, when we see that the cancer that they're particularly focusing on is colon cancer. Then all the breast cancer people get upset. Well, why are they talking about colon cancer? Isn't all cancer important? Why aren't they raising money for breast cancer? Why aren't they raising money for brain cancer? Well, we know that all those cancers need to be researched and need to have support of. But when you have one particular cancer that's dominating in your life and in your society, then you focus on the one that means the most to you, that is impacting you the most. It doesn't mean that the others are not important. It simply means that we need to deal with this issue because it is the elephant in the room. It is the big issue. It is the issue at hand. It is the problem that is impacting a whole race of people. And this is what we are dealing with in our society. And people are offended simply because they hear that phrase. And that's a lack of understanding. That's a heart of stone that needs to be made a heart of flesh. And we need understanding. We need to have a mind that will enable us to expand, to understand what is happening in the lives of the people that we are trying to reach for Christ. And so Ezekiel is pointing out this very fact that we need a new heart. We need a new spirit. The people of God need a new spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God. We need the wisdom of God. We need to understand that God has called us to make a difference in the world, and it takes the power of the Spirit of God to have the spiritual gumption and fortitude to rise up and testify and speak the truth when error is being propagated. And we need to be able to stand for righteousness and for truth. And so we need to learn how to focus our minds on God. And when we focus our minds on God, then we are able to have peace in the midst of the storm. We are able to come to a place where the Holy Spirit of God can speak to us and give us balance so that we are able to know what the will of the Lord is. In James 1:2, it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Hallelujah. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. It produces endurance. Trials or testing of faith produces endurance. And this is what we need today. This is what the people of God need. We need our faith tested, so that we can have endurance. We can go the distance, go the long haul, be able to endure. It says, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Hallelujah. But if you, any of you, lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And I pray that you are asking God for wisdom, that you are seeking the wisdom of God. We must do this every day. It says, he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You see, God has called us to be focused, to know that he is able, that he is capable, that he is faithful to do abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. The issue is not, do you have faith? The issue is, do you have doubt? Because it is doubt that cancels out your faith. And so we must learn how to trust in God without doubt. For the man ought not to expect that he would receive anything from the Lord. And that is because, as it says here, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You see, we cannot say we believe in God and then operate in fear and doubt. Either God's word is true and it is right, and we stand up for it and we testify of it and we trust in him, or we don't. And if we don't, what is it that hinders us? More times than we'd like to admit, it's fear. It's a lack of faith when it comes to step out and actually be a doer of the word of God, of the things of God. And he goes on and it says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. You see, Joshua was faced with this situation where he was taking over from Moses and he was going into the promised land. And it was time to go into battle in order to take what God had given them. And so the battle was ready to go in, and it was time for the word of God, for the will of God to be accomplished. And they were given a choice. They were told that they had to decide who they were going to serve. And it says, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And so the call is to serve the Lord. The call today is to serve the Lord. The call right now is to serve the Lord. God has called us for such a time as this, to represent him, to put away carnal thinking, and to set aside all these ideologies that are contrary to the will and the ways of God, and decide that we will hold to the truths of God. He says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. We will serve the Lord. Saints of God, I pray that you will serve the Lord, that you are able to see and know that God is calling upon us to represent him even in times of trouble and difficulty. We will serve the Lord. And so in 1 Timothy 1:12, it says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Here is Paul sharing his testimony to Timothy as he is explaining how he formerly thought, how he was a persecutor and a blasphemer, and he was a violent aggressor, even though he was a religious man. How many people are religious today? And they fit this same category. They operate in ways that are contrary to the will of God. They even allow injustice to happen even in the midst of them, and they keep quiet. They don't say anything. The word of God tells us that we should expose the devil, that we are called to even shame him. This is what the people of God need to learn how to do, to stand for righteousness, to speak up for that which is right, and allow the will and the word of God to permeate and transform hearts and minds. This is what the word of God will do. It will not return void when it is operated upon and utilized the way it was designed to be lived out. And so he goes on, he says, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. So many people are acting ignorantly today. They're operating in unbelief, even though some of them claim to believe in God. Well, I can assure you that it's more than what you believe in. It's about how you are living, how you are operating, how you are functioning in this world, in this society. Are you living out and applying the word of God? Are you living in harmony and in truth? Or are you operating in a state of confusion based on the thoughts and the ideas that you're hearing from every other source around you? We must remain true to the word of God. In verse 14, it says, "And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus." It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Saints of God, we are all foremost of all sinners. Even as Paul is testifying, he was not ashamed to tell people that he was a blasphemer and he was a persecutor of those who were trying to do the will of God. And it is up to us as the people of God to also be able to testify and speak of the truths that are happening in the midst of us so that we can see change transform our society, that the will of God may be accomplished among us. And so it is a trustworthy statement, and it is the responsibility of all of us to be able to acknowledge that we are all falling short of the glory of God and are in need of a Savior. And because of that, we need Christ the Lord. And because of Christ the Lord, the Spirit of God is made available to us. And as the Spirit of God is made available to us, we are able to juxtapose the thoughts of the mind with what's the happening in our very hearts and the stirring of our souls, and bring it all together according to the inspiration and the leading of the Holy Spirit as the Word of God prevails within us. So yet, for this very reason, Paul finalizes this passage and says, "I found mercy so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life." Saints of God, we need patience today. This is a season and a time for patience. We need to be able to wait, that those who are suffering and feeling the weight of injustice as they finally break forth and express themselves and cry out for help, we need to wait on God so that we can find a way to bring about and see this transformation happen in our society, that we would be able to, even first and foremost as Christians, be able to live in unity and harmony. It is a shame that white people cannot come to a black church and feel comfortable in the midst, being outnumbered by people of color. It is a shame that black people cannot go into a white church and feel comfortable sitting in an atmosphere of people who are not like them, or any other race being able to come into an atmosphere where there is a mixed culture and a mixed environment and atmosphere. Shame on the Christians of America. Shame on the Christians of this world. Shame on us as the people of God that we would demonstrate such immorality, that we would be able to represent the righteousness and the truth of God. We have this opportunity that lays before us that we would be able to see. I tell you, it is a shame and it is a racist act when people come into an atmosphere and they see people from another race or another culture and they cannot stay or feel comfortable being a part of that ministry or congregation. That's a racist motivation of the heart. And it's not until we're able to overcome this mentality that we will be able to see this change even in our society, because it begins in the heart of the Christian, of the believer who claims to have God. And we must learn how to operate out of unity and out of an overflowing well of the love of God that would transcend race and culture, that no matter who it is we find ourselves in the midst of, we would be able to worship together and glorify God in the name of Jesus. There ought not be this division in the church. And so in 1 John 4:17, he says, by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is no fear in love, he says, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfect in love. Those are tough words to reconcile. And we have to learn how to operate in the love of God. And then we will not be fearful of people when they're walking down the street and we see them coming and we cross over to the other side. That we would not be fearful when we find ourselves in places where we're outnumbered with people who don't look like us. We would not be operating in fear, but we would operate in the love of God, because perfect love casts out fear. And we know that God has called us to peace, called us to love. He says in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Saints of God, I pray that you get to know intimately the love of God. When you know the love of God, it will change the way you think, the way you feel. You will begin to have a desire and a hunger for the word of God. It will renew your mind. It will transform your heart, and you will be juxtaposed by the Spirit of God. You will be transformed into the image of Christ. This is what God is looking to do. In Philippians 4, it goes on and it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. They were having conflict, you see. They were not getting along. These two ladies were having some sort of difficulty. And so as a result, Paul is encouraging them. He's begging them. He's pleading with them to get on one accord, to be in harmony in the Lord, by the Spirit of God, by the strength of God. That is the cry that we have today. I cry in behalf of all of the people that are suffering, that are enduring hardship, that are in the churches, that are in the world, that we would all be unified in the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of the Lord would bring us together, that the Word of God would breathe new life into us, that we would be transformed. I would love to see every human being come to a knowledge of Christ. And I pray that it is your desire also, that together we would be those who witness and testify, that those who are in darkness would come to the light. It is only through Christ that this transformation can take place. He goes on in verse 3, he says, indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. I pray your name is in the book of life. I pray that you are rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, he says. This is where we ought to be. We ought to be in a place of rejoicing. When we are reconciled, when we are on one accord, when we operate in the unity of the Spirit of God, we can rejoice. We can see the glory of God. We can see the power of God manifesting itself in the midst of us. He says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Saints of God, I pray that your gentle spirit, your equitable spirit, that means that you have a spirit which is willing to work with others, a spirit that is willing to be reconciled, that you're wanting to be equitable. You have a caring heart, and you desire to have unity in the spirit. And so everyone ought to see you and know you as that. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I pray that you are not anxious today over all that is going on. I pray that you are prayerful and you are crying out to God with thanksgiving in your heart, and you are making your requests known to God, that you would be able to represent the kingdom of God and the truths of God, that the will of God may be accomplished in this world and in the life that you are representing on this earth. And so verse 7 says, and the peace of God, if you do all of that, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you don't have to have anxiety today. You don't have to be fearful today. You don't have to be worried about all of the issues and problems that coronavirus and people who are crying out for justice are applying in the world all around us. You don't have to worry, because you ought to have the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, because your heart is being guarded, your mind is being guarded in Christ Jesus. And so the peace of God is at work. The Spirit of God is at work, because the Word of God is dwelling within you richly. And so finally, Paul says, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Saints of God, don't get caught up in all the social media posts. Don't watch all the news reports of all the evil that is going on, all of the issues and all of the problems, but you need to focus on the Word of God. You need to focus on the testimonies of God. You need to seek peace and pursue it. You need to find whatever is right, whatever is honorable, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is of good repute. You need to find these things of excellence and worthiness and praise, and you need to glorify God for all that He is doing. The news will show you all that the evildoers are doing in the world, but God will show you all the good that He is doing in the world. Focus on the Lord. Focus on His Word. Pray and ask God what your part is, so that you would be able to be an example to the unbelievers of how you ought to live in this world. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Saints of God, the God of peace be with you. I pray that you have a steadfast mind, and that you are being kept in perfect peace because you trust in God, because you trust in the Lord, because God is in the midst of us, and He will enable you to juxtapose your head and your heart with the Spirit of God, so that you can align yourself to the Word of God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Here we go.
Glory to God. Ho!
Our God, who reigns forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not think you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort
in the world, that you have faith in God, that you are able to understand that there is a need for change in our society, that there is a need for people's perceptions of people of color and people of various of cultures and various places in society, that we are all made in the image of God. We are all the people of God, and we have all been brought together to live in this place called Earth, that the will of God may be accomplished through us, that humanity and mankind might be saved. The Word of God says that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Saints of God, I pray that you are an agent of change, that you are representing the love of God, that you are representing unity in the Spirit, and that you are able to love regardless of how people look or even where they come from. I pray that you are able to be a witness to the truth of God in His Word, that the way you feel and the thoughts of your mind would be reconciled to a place of unity with the Word of God. I pray that your very soul would be the juxtapositional agent that transforms the lives of everyone you meet, as you are used as a tool of God to bring the Word and the truth of God, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God into people's lives, that they may experience reconciliation, love, joy, and peace, and a renewed mind because of the witness of Christ through you. Well, God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you soon as we prepare to come together again. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, O God, for all these things that you are working out among us. Restore your people, renew your people, revive your people, that the will of God may be exemplified in this world, and that people would see and know that you are real and you are who you say you are, so that this world may indeed be transformed into the image of Christ in the love of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.